Next item on the agenda is item 13, pertaining to striped bass. Sir Riley.
Yes, sir.
Members of the commission, if you need a break, please take it as you go along.
I did.
I have one.
Just leave me a quorum.
Handout. And it pertains to the public comments that came in after you were mailed the package. And I'll be covering the public comments, so I'll cover those as well. And what you see now is the public notice truncated. So it advertises really three different options for the recreational striped bass fishery in December. This only applies to December. And last year, you may recall, the December 10 through 31 time period, the commission adopted a one fish limit. You may also recall that since 2005, there's been this no-take slot limits, which you cannot have a fish between 28 and 34 inches, so that has remained. The three options under consideration are to maintain the status quo to 2007, have that one fish limit, December 10 through 31, have two fish reinstituted as it was back in 2006 for that same time period, so that all December would be a two fish limit. And the third option would be somewhere in between that, perhaps less days, everything's flying on me here, less days that you might have the one fish limit. Okay, well, and that's the show.
I wish you gave it that speed last time.
Okay, thank you. I was leaning on the keyboard.
That'll do it.
The second slide is talking about the public comments. Those in favor of establishing a two-fish limit for all of December include the fishing clubs of Portsmouth Anglers, Peninsula Saltwater Fishermen's Association, Virginia Charter Boat Association. 17 individuals. Compared to some of the striped bass issues that you've heard for the recreational fishery, I would say this was a very modest amount of public comment, perhaps because the options were so few. There's also an ad hoc committee, which has a standing of 6 years. They've looked at the data over those years. This year, there was not a meeting, but I did query them, and they did provide their responses. There's 9 individuals on that committee. 5 preferred the two-fish limit. In your packet, there are 2 comments. I think one comment from Mr. Carney, Frank Carney, is very indicative of what some fishermen think anyway. He supports a two-fish limit, but he hopes there will be an offset circle hook for the fishery so that the large fish fishery, which has developed over the last few years, that live eel fishery, won't be such of the magnitude that it's become for larger fish. FMAC met last night. There was one abstention, and that was the chair, Mr. Bowden. All others were in support of two fish, and I tried to think about some of the comments. One comment last night, because there weren't that many aimed at the data or the information, last night's FMAC meeting coincided with a charter boat issue on limited entry. So there was testimony from at least a half a dozen charter boat operators who all vouched for the two fish limit to be returned to the regulation. And I guess the one comment about the charter boat fishery, it's very important to Virginia. Maryland also participates coming down here because they don't have a fishery in December. So a two fish limit for the Maryland charter boat is alluring as well. The other aspect is, please recall from before, it's the private boat that drives the harvest. Matter of fact, it's the private boat that drives 88 to 90% of the harvest. And that's true for Wave 6 as well. Another comment was on the licenses, how saltwater licenses were down so much. And Jack had me look at this. I did. And They certainly are down. If you look at 2008 on a fiscal basis, so if you look from July 2007 to June 2008 compared to July 2008 to June 2009, and of course many of those months haven't occurred yet, but nonetheless the indication is that boat licenses and the single license or the individual licenses are down quite a bit. So that was a testimonial from someone on FMAC that that should be a...
You define quite a bit.
Well, yeah, sure. I would say the indication, and you have to realize that the time period's not complete. So you have June, July, you have July, August, and September of one fiscal period versus an entire 12-month fiscal period before. 41,000, I'll round off, individual licenses compared to 17,000. 29,000 boat licenses for the fiscal year 2007-2008 ending in June compared to 10,000 boat licenses for really July, August, and September. So there isn't indication licenses are down. The problem is we don't have a comparative scale as we used to. The saltwater license as of July 1, 2007 became a 12-month license rather than a calendar year or annual license. So you can buy your license any month. It's good for 12-month period. A little difference. What is indicative that perhaps this trend won't continue is when you look at August of 08, 6,100 individual licenses, 3,500 boat licenses compared to the previous August, 5,700, 2,700. Same pattern in September. There's an increase in both those licenses compared to the previous September. So how many licenses will be bought in October, November, right on through to the end of the fiscal year of ending June in 09? However, in thinking about this, what's really significant about licenses is avidity. So how many of the licenses that were used in 2007, for example, will also be those who are licensed in 2008? If licensing dropped off, how many of the drop-offs were individuals who really aren't avid striped bass fishermen? We don't know. You just don't know that, but you have to think about that. There's another option up on the screen, and that is the status quo option. There were three individual comments in support of the status quo, keep things the way they were last year. Two of the ad hoc committee members wanted status quo. One was a charter fisherman. He felt the regulation had not had time to season. A lot of the lower harvest was probably attributed to something other than just the regulation, and we should let the regulation stay in place. The other member had concerns that an overage would occur with two fish. Everyone would be back here again as we were in 2004, 5, 6, and 7, trying to figure out good regulation. The staff recommendations at the bottom, and the recommendation from staff is a compromise. It's to not take the giant leap to going back to two fish the entire month of December, which is probably 70% of the fishery, since 80-some percent is for November and December combined, but rather to keep the no-take slot in place as it has since 2005 and have a one-fish limit instead of starting December 10, start at December 21. So at this point, and I really felt last night, that anyone would want two fish instead of one fish.
Yeah.
I mean, who would not? The problem staff has to face, and we have to do it with data, we have to face the Code of Virginia, 28.2.203, which talks about not only the biological aspects, but the social and the economic aspects. Well, in this situation, there's a quota. There's not a biological problem. The stocks have been restored since 1995 and have grown. Abundance is very high. But there is a social problem, and that problem is the quota. Because if we do poor quota management, then the next year, it's the fishermen who pay the price. And economics is involved in there as well. So with that, I'm just going to show you a modified amount of data that's in your evaluation, just a few slides. One is the track record of the numbers of fish that have been harvested since we started, opened the fishery again in 1990. Also, the pounds that have been landed, I think generally you can see the increase, and then the quotas in the black bars. And I think you can see there have been some years, in fact, from 2001 through 2006, there are overages of the quota, large overages, 2003 and 4 and 2006. And in fact, right after 2003 is when the ad hoc committee kicked in and FMAC looked at the recommendations for reductions for each of those years, 2004, 5, 6, and 7. It's a good thing. The harvest is 128,000 pounds below the quota, the recreational quota in 2007. But that has no bearing on 2008. 2007's over. Quota underages are a common phenomenon in quota management. They do not entitle a fishery to take whatever hasn't been harvested in the year preceding and add it to the subsequent year. The reason is the stock changes, and that's why they do annual stock assessments. It's not a bank. This shows the data a little differently in terms of, instead of going by the quotas, which, by the way, the quota from 1997 to 2003 was 1,701,743 pounds, and that was a quirk of the ASMFC. They kept on trying to get their amendments straight. They kept on freezing regulations and kept the same quota at that time period. And then you'll notice after 2003, you've got the same quota all the way through. All of a sudden, you see a slightly different quota. Then you see it drop off because we're faced with annual quota estimation, which we were supposed to do all the way throughout this time series. If you look back after 1997, we would have never had the amount of quotas that we ended up with by the quirk in the ASMFC. Does staff think the resource could handle the quotas we had? Yes, certainly. And it's shown that. But what's shown here is six times that this fishery has been over quota, three times that it's been under, and in the recent history, it's only last year. And these are just the percentages over or under. If you put everything in context of the 2008 quota, which is 1,642,242. Last night, we did talk at FMAC somewhat about effort and the fact that if you look at the bottom, there's really not a statistical relationship between the number of trips and harvest. And as a matter of fact, I've isolated just three strings of general effort here, only in November, December, and they're all about 320,000 trips. And what should be a little bit alarming is, it doesn't mean you're going to get the same feedback on the harvest. The harvest can jump around. And you can look at several other examples, and the same thing is true, that you can get a high harvest with lower effort. You can also get a low harvest with low effort. I mean, all the combinations seem to occur. The catch, which is this harvest in numbers, plus the amount of released fish alive, has a slightly significant relationship. There's a better relationship with the catch overall, and that includes the releases, but not enough to give you good predictive power. Here's another way to look at some type of relationship. This is participation. The number of anglers versus harvest only in November and December, wave six. And again, I've singled out a few choices to show you the volatility here. Essentially the same number of coastal households. Coastal is within 25 miles. Roughly the same number of total anglers in that wave six, two drastically different harvests. If you'd like to get another combination, here's 2001 and 2007. Total and coastal very similar. Harvests are not alike. So we concluded last night that availability is a driving factor. If the fish are available compared to not as available, it makes a big difference compared to even the amount of effort that you have out there. As someone pointed out to me last night, no, it's the availability and the weather. And I didn't have enough time before coming up here to do the full meteorological survey, but if you recall 2006 and 2007, 2006, 2.4 million pounds, 2007, 1.4 million pounds, nearly a million pound difference. There were eight days where there were winds more than 15 knots in 2006, 16 in 2007. Now, of course, I didn't get the directionality. Some people would go out regardless, but, you know, we know weather plays a factor, and you can't look at other things besides weather and availability. Here's a slide that looks at a different type of effort. The previous slide was general effort. Whatever they're fishing for, that's the effort, which is mostly striped bass in November and December. Most of the effort is striped bass. But this is directed trips. These are trips that were declared for striped bass or encountered striped bass. And I think what stands out with the effort in the red bars is that in 2005 and 2006, very similar amount of trips in wave six for the striped bass fishery. The harvest, not very similar in wave six. You know, about an 850, 870,000 pound difference. Same thing in fish. 226,000 fish compared to 347,000 fish. Just a brief comment on the size frequency. There are less fish with the black bars because that's 2007. Only 154,000 fish compared to 346,000 fish in 2006. At the same time, however, there still are a lot of large fish proportional to that 154,000. As a matter of fact, 17% of the harvest was 34 inches and greater in 2007 compared to 15% in 2006. So large fish are an item of interest and will continue to be that way. The citation program, or the VMRC saltwater fishing tournament data, show that in 2007, the top amount of entrants, right around 900 entrants, 512 captures, compared to the year before, less entrants, 448 captures. And again, the large fish are not meant to be indicative of something similar to the National Marine Fisheries Service data, but they are indicative of a trend, and that is here. This, what I wanted to show you, was the information from an add-on that was done in 2005 and again in 2007. And it was to add extra questions because the National Marine Fisheries Service provides all the state's data on the harvest with this type of question. Where was most of your fishing effort on this trip? So we discovered that what that meant was someone could fish in the bay and the ocean. And if most of their effort or time spent was out in the ocean, even if they had bay-caught fish, they might go down as ocean-caught fish because the question is vague. So our question now that we've been asking is very specific. It asks, where did you harvest those fish? And it runs through four questions. And I think what you can see for wave six, especially, these are the number of questions asked. The numbers are less than at top because I didn't include wave five. But what you can pretty much see reading down here that once you get to the number of intercepts in the Chesapeake Bay, you have 275 who are responding to, they took a fish there. So there is a big fishery, as you probably know, running through the Chesapeake in wave six. This at least solves some of the problems that we've had in the past, and I neglected to mention it, but in the previous slide on length frequency, the number of what you can call illegal fish reported by NIMH between 28 and 34 inches did drop from 4.1% down to 1.2%. Is that coincidence that this question was asked? This is new information. I just collected this today. Right now, the 2009 quota is in process to determine what that will be. It's a little bit complicated in that there are three different tagging sources, programs that are looked at, types of tagging to figure out our final quota. But when the quota either goes up or down, it's usually because of a change in exploitable stock biomass. Exploitable stock biomass is the accumulation of the strength of all the annual young of the year indices taken forward through time. So striped bass are claimed to live to 30. We age them to maybe 19 or 20 so far. Some of the other states might get them older, but you can backtrack a little bit just 20 years and say the strength of the 1989 year class, which was a very strong year class until the 1993 and the 1996, that follows through to give you this composite exploitable stock biomass. More importantly, that's the living weight of the fish that are going to be harvested by the bay in its quota. And what you don't like to see, and it's too early to tell you which of these two models is going to end up, but both are similar because the one model indicates a 6.7% downward trend in exploitable stock biomass for 2009. The other model, just about a 6%. So, again, if you have heard something about the Maryland Juvenile Abundance Index this year, which is only 1 year, which was very, very poor as anything in the 50s, this is more the accumulation, again, of all the indices. One index would not take care of that, and besides, the 2008 year class won't be exploitable fully until the fish are 4 years old, which is 2012. So this is just about the past. This is a leftover, the only one really from last year, modified a little bit, just to remind you that there have been very large overages, and also that the abundance in general of larger fish has increased even since the stocks were considered restored by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission in 1995. The other item is we are part of the Bay-wide quota, and there is not a bank of quota available out there. If you want to look back at 2007 harvest and then look at the 2008 quota, you could say there's an amount of 216,000 pounds, which if you want to figure in a 7-pound average fish, it would give you an idea of how many fish that might be. But because the bay-wide quota, there was an underage of 1 million pounds, that's not any jurisdiction alone to say we can take more risk. And then the last item, the National Marine Fisheries Service tells everyone right up front, our data aren't meant for quota management, but yet year after year, that's what we have to do. We use it for quota management. And that's all that I have.
Questions of Rob? Rob, I've got one.
Yes.
Not being a scientist, but I've got to look at it from this perspective. You said that, help me if I'm wrong, that there's no correlation, or not as much correlation between effort as it is availability of fish. But help me out.
If I say no, it'll only be to say there actually is a correlation. it's weak. It's about 48% between effort and harvest. So that means not quite half the time, if the effort's higher, you could get higher harvest, but the other half time you might not. It's the statistical relationship between effort and harvest which is not there.
Is there a breakpoint somewhere along the way that, based on the reduction in license, I mean, one can say, yeah, that's true, but there's got to be, as things cross, if you had absolutely no people fishing, period, you'd have an abundance of fish. Isn't there, I mean, what I'm getting to is, with the fuel prices being as high as they've been, with the number of license sales, which are down 20-some percent, I know the revenue amount real quick. I don't know the percentage number of licenses, but isn't that to be considered somewhere into the equation of a possible adjustment or decision-making process as far as number of fish?
Well, I think last night one of the FMAC members said, let's push it. If now's not the time to push it, when is? And it didn't hit me until today that's exactly the type of situation that you're asking about. In other words, we have had a low harvest, although we're not supposed to really bank on the Bay-wide quota, and we talked about this last night. If we go 5% over or 10% over, it's not going to cause a big problem with the history of the Bay-wide quota.
Uh-huh.
So the gentleman who said that, I understand it better today than I did last night.
Okay.
The fuel and the trips, yes, I think you can consider that. I think there's an expression about on the economy, which means who is going to be able to fish on the economy in December. And I would suggest that probably private boats will be to some extent, not like last year perhaps, but to some extent. And if the availability is there, then it's just a risk. I mean, it's a risk the commission could take compared to any other year since 2003.
Okay. Further questions, Mr. Schick?
Well, just an observation in my little part of the world. We've got two tournaments coming out of Colonial Beach, and the pre-sales entries are dismal. And, you know, if I sell, you know, fuel to two or three boats in a day, you know, we're having a banner day.
Okay. That's what they call anecdotal yet.
Yes.
Personal observation, yeah. Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
Sorry,
Mr. Fox?
Do we know of any experience of the charter boat people or any others where they have economic hardship? We heard a bunch of the crabbers today. Do we have similar situations in the
last night? Yes, sir. Last night there was quite a bit of testimony. As I say, it just happened that we had a charter boat issue, so they were here. And, you know, bookings are definitely off. And that's important. The charter fleet will tell you that two fish sells better than one to customers, and we all know that. It's, again, just from a staff perspective, we have a history of information. You have a very volatile fishery, but, you know, perhaps with the charter and everyone else, they also need to consider we've got another component, which I didn't mention, which is the Maryland fleet. So I'm sure that if one fish is not attractive to the Maryland fleet, two fish will as well, and that's, you know, we have to take that along with everything else.
We'll work on that as well.
Right.
I think what Rob is saying in a roundabout way is if he comes back next year and we're over quota, he's saying, don't say I didn't tell you so.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that. I should have said, you're right to remind me, that staff does wait to try and work with the committee. We have an ad hoc committee. We have FMAC. We have been battle-tested, and so, you know, if the risk turns out to be one that it just backfires a little bit, then we work on it together next year, and that's how we'll approach it.
Okay.
But it won't be your fault.
No, I hope not.
This is a public hearing. Who'd like to speak? Mr. Pride. Afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner and other commissioners. I'm Bob Pride. I'm here today to represent the Virginia Charter Boat Association, and I'll try to address some of Mr. Clark's question. We represent about half the licensed charter boats in the state, or our members. From the reports that we've gotten that are unofficial but pretty representative, about 50 captains have reported this. Their sales are off, or their trips are off from 20% to 80%. Now, let me explain that. The 20% people are folks that have been in business for a long time, primarily have corporate customers, and they haven't been as effective. This would be the David Wrights and the folks that run out of Rudy primarily. The folks that have individual customers or are newer in business, for myself, for example, or the headboats, have experienced a dramatic drop in their customers. And what's interesting is I haven't changed prices. My trip is a $350 trip. I don't burn any fuel to speak of. I burn 5 gallons on a big day. So, but my customers have not called me because they assume my prices are going to be up, and I'm not getting any customers that just, appear out of the woodwork from the website or something like that. It just hadn't happened. So I attribute that partially just to the general state of the economy and partially to the perception that everybody's raised their prices dramatically like the offshore boats have. So that said, let me talk about why I'm here today. We really would like to see two fish for the month of December. As it was so eloquently stated a minute ago, two sells a lot better than one when you're trying to book a charter. And given the year that we've had, for a lot of boats, this makes a big difference in whether they're going to have a reasonably successful year or not, or a disaster. I'm done. I don't do rockfish. So this is not a personal axe to grind, but this is the association's need. As Rob mentioned, we did have a slight underage in, by pounds, 100,000 odd pounds on the Virginia recreational target. We did see last year a lot of culling on fish because of the one fish limit. The statistics for how many fish that kills or how many fish are thrown back dead don't enter any survey methods we have, so we can only guess what that might be. I would say it was probably significant, whether it's significant to the tune of 5 pounds or 5 million pounds, I don't know. There's no, because we don't measure it in any way. But the fuel prices have definitely reduced the number of trips for recreational boats in general. The popular spots have seen 30 to 50% reduction in the number of boats alone on good days. And I think anybody who's been on the water would testify to that today. As Mr. Schick has said, tournament participation for rockfish tournaments is way down. The CCA tournament, I know pre-registration is abysmal. And they usually almost sell out that tournament every year. And they're just not happening this year. I guess you'll see it firsthand this year, won't you, Commissioner? You're going up there? The license sales being off 30 to 40%, depending on who you talk to, I think some part of that's probably due to the switchover in recreational licensing from a calendar year to the 12 months from the date of sale. But on the other hand, if you think about it, I bought my charter boat license this year on April 29th, and I got number 331. I went down and bought one for a friend this morning, and I got number 448. Then I asked Sonia how many people had bought them since the control date that we established on June 24th, and only about 13 or 14 people had purchased a charter boat license since June 24th. So what that tells me, out of 448 licenses we sold, most of them were sold by the end of June. And I would think that's going to be pretty much true for recreational boats too, because that's when the season peaks. Yeah. Now, I may be wrong a little bit. There may be some holdouts that only fish for striped bass that bought them in the fall, but I doubt it's very many. So I think that I think we got a real number of license sales being down by 30%. Now, Rob brought up the point about avidity. Are these the good fishermen that didn't buy licenses, or are these the people that aren't good? I don't know. And he's right about that. I mean, this could make a difference. The other point that came up that I wasn't aware of is that because of the commercial fishery for striped bass going to the poundage system, they're kind of tending to under-harvest, and we did in the past, and it looks like that's going to be a trend that will go forward, if I'm not mistaken. Ernie, maybe you can speak to that. I don't really know. So all these factors combine to say to me that we're not taking a very large risk at all to go to two fish in December of 2008, and if we were, I'd be a person that would say we were. Now, I agree with Rob, if the fish show up in abundance and they're all big fish, yeah, we could get in trouble. But we could get in trouble with one fish at the same on the same basis. If, you know, obviously, it'd have to be a different order of magnitude. But I appreciate your consideration for two fish, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Bob. Who's next? Going once, twice. Public hearing is now closed. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
I'd like to move to go for two fish. I know we've seen the data coming in, and I just think that we're gonna see a lot less fish caught than we anticipated. So, and I do think that some of the folks need it. I know the marinas that sell fuel need it, and the charter boat captains are taking them out. The bait shops, they could all use something for the few folks that are going to go in December.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion, Mr. Bowden.
I'm not going to say I don't favor the motion, but I will say this. Last night, Mr. Parrish brought up the same idea Bob did, and I am kind of resentful of that fact that the commercials went under, so if the recreational goes over, we'll be even. You know, we had the same situation on Tautau, where we could have imposed no additional regulations on the commercial side for one day, additional restrictions on the recreational side, and everybody had a fit. And we said we couldn't do it because the Code of Virginia didn't allow it. So I don't really think we should allow anyone to bank on the fact that the commercial's gone under. The only problem I have with this is we have a long history of going over. No matter what management, and every year when we enact new management, it's going to take care of it, overage. But the following year, we have an overage again. So I will support the motion. But I'm going to be honest. If we come back next year, I'm going to be terrible. I'll be honest about it because this has been such a long history of it. You have one year that you have a slight underage compared to major overages. So you want to take that into consideration.
The one for the other factors, Ernie, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Further discussion, Mr. Tankard and Mr. Lane.
I'd truly like to catch two fish. Excuse me, I can't talk. In the time period of December 21 through 31st. But at the same time, I think we need to be conservative for the same reason that Mr. Bowden mentioned, that we've only been over 1 year. And I know my fishing friends will want to hit me in the head, but or billy club me, but I kind of want to stay with staff recommendation myself.
Okay. Mr. Lane?
Well, with that history of overages, I'm frankly afraid that if we were to go over, even by a small amount, consequences for 2009 might be dire. So it seems to me that giving up 10, 11 days is a fairly small price to pay. At least we'll be in a better posture in case we do go over anyhow. So anyway, I think we ought to not have the one fish limit for 10 days.
Further discussion on the right. Motion on the table is for two fish. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Yeah. All in favor of two fish, raise your right hand. One, two, three, four. Am I counting right? Four. Yeah. All opposed? One, two, three, four. Motion fails on a tie. I've seen that happen today.
We need to let Carl vote from now on.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
Had to move my dice with me.
The chair will entertain a motion.
I move that the season be closed the last, have a one fish limit the last 10 days.
Which would be staff recommendation, Mr. Lane?
Staff recommendation.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
How many noes? Two. Motion passes.
I thought Mr. Tankard said that.
All right. Thanks. Rob, good job. Thank you very much.